Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let's talk some baseball with Matt Snyder, CBS Sports MLB senior writer on Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called, at Matt Snyder CBS. Matthew, good morning, buddy.
Hey, man. Really excited for what's about to happen in 2 days, but I have a feeling we're not going to talk as much about that. Just a feeling.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're going to talk about the dark cloud. Man, what a bummer. I'm such a random Shohei fan in the sense that I love watching him play, and I've taken my kids to see his game. So, But let's get into it. Obviously, he spoke yesterday. Let's start here, Matt. I know that there's a lot of information we don't have, and we're trying to piece together our own perspectives and our best guesses, and I'm sure you are too, based on the weird way the story has played out. For you and for people you talk to in baseball, how much credibility does Shohei Ohtani have when he comes out yesterday and gives a statement and says, "I didn't know and I didn't do it"?
I still think there's some. I mean, I don't see any reason to start all of a sudden jumping straight into the Pete Rose end of the pool. And I've already seen people doing that crap. And it's way too early in the process to say that he wasn't like that. It's way too early to say he was. I'm still in the place where I would say to you when you said it, like you, with your kids being Ohtani fans and it's disappointing, I would still say still allow them to be his fans and if not encourage it, because it's entirely possible that he got completely swindled here. And, you know, there's been some scrambling, but of course there would be some scrambling if your name's attached to a gambling scandal in Major League Baseball. We know that what that's done to people. The only thing we've heard that seems close to being definitive so far is this interpreter doesn't seem like a very good guy. Definitely seems like he stole money from Ohtani. And the betting, as far as we know, was on international soccer. The bookie being involved is bad for Ohtani because I was about to say they're not allowed to gamble on baseball at all, period. They're allowed to gamble on other sports as long as it's done legally. So through any one of the DraftKings, Caesars, BetMGM, any of that stuff, players can gamble on basketball or football or whatever on that, or international soccer. The bookie is a problem in that it wasn't Ohtani's money is a problem for now. Past that, I'm not drawing any conclusions because we don't have any evidence it was on baseball at all.
Matt Snyder on the show. Matt, let me ask a baseball question centered around this ugliness. The Dodgers have been a successful ball club for a long time, have not won the number of World Series that they won over the last decade, but obviously have been outstanding, dominant baseball team in the NL West. They're already loaded with talent. They go and they get the most, I would argue, mesmerizing, interesting, headline-grabbing player in the game before this in Ohtani. Ohtani does not speak English or speak it particularly well. So, and he speaks through an interpreter. What can this do, what might it do to the chemistry and the vibe in that clubhouse? Not just given the fact that these guys are going to have to answer these questions, but if you're a reporter and you want to talk about the Shohei Ohtani story, you're probably going to have to talk to guys not named Shohei Ohtani. If you are any dude in that on that team, you're probably going to have to talk about this a lot more than you want to. Is there a potential negative impact just in terms of the chemistry within that organization because this story, fair or not, has followed Shohei to the Dodgers?
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I don't look at chemistry as much in baseball as, for example, basketball, where you need kind of five guys in harmony out there on the field, or even football, where it's such a physical sport. And, for example, you need the offensive line to always be on the same page. The quarterback and his receivers always need to be on the same page. You do have to play defense together, but, like, offensively, you're basically batting as an individual against the pitcher, who's an individual. The pitcher is an individual matchup. He needs to be on the same page as the catcher. But it just doesn't seem the same to me, and I'm someone who went further in baseball than I did in any other sport. We often say it's a team sport, or it's a team sport, or an individual sport masquerading as a team sport, because it's a series of individual matchups. So sorry I botched that. But the other thing is, with the Dodgers, they have very recently dealt with a lot of Trevor Bauer questions. And it hasn't seemed to bother them at all when they won 111 games in 2021 or 22 and 100 games last season. So,
let me just jump in. That's true. But Bauer wasn't in the clubhouse during that stretch. Ohtani's going to be there every single day.
But I was just saying, if they have to answer questions about Ohtani because he can't answer himself, like, Bauer wasn't in the clubhouse to talk about it himself. So they would be asked about Bauer. So it kind of felt like it was along the same level.
So you think in terms of the impact on the Dodgers, this is much ado about nothing?
Probably. Yeah, at least for now. I mean, it's hard for me to see a situation where Ohtani was tied up in baseball gambling to the point where he has to be banned for life. So I think once they start playing, and it probably helps that it's a daily sport where you play a game pretty much every day, as opposed to football where you're sitting around with a week in between to answer a bunch of questions and think about stuff. And then if you have a few bad games, you got to let that linger. I think that it's probably not going to impact them that much. But I will say this, I have no idea, because we haven't really seen anything like this for a long time. So it's hard to tell.
Matt Snyder on the show. Matt, let me back up a little bit. I'm curious, even before this story broke, what you made from a decision-making point of view of Major League Baseball beginning the Shohei Ohtani era and beginning its 2024 season in South Korea before the rest of Major League Baseball had their opening days, at a time, certainly in L.A., where nobody was watching, or very few people could watch those games at 3 a.m.?
No, I don't care for it at all. Now, first of all, I will say this. It was already scheduled with the Dodgers and Padres before Ohtani signed with the Dodgers. So I suppose you could say, well, it was already scheduled. They can't change it once Ohtani signs with the Dodgers. My complaint's more in general on the games. They've been doing that forever. I mean, I remember one time when I was in college and I woke up at 5 in the morning to watch the Cubs play against the Mets. And I remember Benny Agbayani on the Mets hit like a late go-ahead sack fly or even home run or something. I just remember the Cubs lost, and I woke up way early, and I was aggravated about it. But I always try to be on the side of the fans. And this is a North American sport. Almost our entire fan base is here. I understand trying to expand the international footprint, especially when you have players like Shohei Ohtani. I get that. But due to the logistics of the travel, to have two games kind of hanging there, March 20th and 21st, and then they come back and they play exhibition games. What other sport have you ever heard of? You play a real game, and then you go back to exhibition games before you get to the rest of the regular season. That's totally off. And again, when I say I'm on the side of the fans, L.A. and San Diego fans, their season, and both fan bases have to be excited. Obviously, Padres maybe a little less so than the Dodgers, but still, the Padres look like they could be good this year. 3 in the morning, opening day. Come on, man. That's just – I don't care for that at all. And I just think we shouldn't be doing – because of the logistics that I mentioned and when because of the travel and when you have to play the games and the time you have to play them, the South Korea, Japan, Australia games, I do not like those for that reason. I love doing it anywhere where the time zone makes sense. The Mexico games are great. I would love to see them do some Caribbean series. even if they go all the way down to Aruba and send the Padres there because Xander Bogaerts is from Aruba, that would be really cool. Stuff like that, I would love to see that. But once you get into the time difference being that big of a deal that you have to start the season 8 days before the rest of the games, and then they go back and play exhibition games in between, that's just not right to me.
CBS Sports, Matt Snyder here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Bill Ryder. Matt, a couple years ago, the Orioles were young and interesting. I think they won 82 or 83 games. Last year, they won 101 games. And I know there were other factors, but that was a young core, guys that came up through their system as key pieces. Is there a team this year that you think could similarly make a jump or be surprising or have a youth movement or just maybe defy some of the narratives out there in Major League Baseball we should keep our eyes on?
Not like that. I think the Reds, they had so many rookies last year. I believe they had three players get votes for Rookie of the Year, but none of them even appeared in 100 games. And they also had a rookie on the pitching staff. They also have youngsters in the rotation like Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo. So the Reds could definitely take a big step forward. The only thing is they've been so banged up in spring training, and they already lost Noelvi Marte, one of the youngsters, to a PED suspension. So maybe a little held back there. But they certainly have a group that you could see that kind of an influx of young talent. In terms of a big leap forward, not like that. I mean, like you said, that was almost 18 games to get into the 100s and wins. I don't see anybody like that at all. Do you think the Cubs are going to be better? I'm just glancing around the standings here. No, I mean, maybe the Royals could make kind of a run, and maybe they could make a run in the division because the division's bad, but nothing at all like that Orioles group. That was something special. That's something you don't
see
that often.
So much fun. Yeah, let's dive into the Cubs a little bit. They perfected yet again the art of breaking my heart last year. Just, you know, I had no hope, and then they gave me hope, and then they yanked it away. That's obviously a major market, and we're used to teams that have financial resources having, it's not guaranteed, but having success or having some recurring success. How do you think the Cubs are positioned this year and the years ahead to try and do what the Dodgers and the Astros and to a lesser degree the Yankees have done? And maybe throw the Mets in too. Are the Mets or the Cubs in a position to get to that place where they're consistently competing for their division?
Mets, I think, will take a little bit now that they hired David Stearns, who was one of the architects of the Brewers for and contending for so long. The Mets are looking to have Stearns be their Andrew Friedman and take them to the next level like the Dodgers, where they never, ever miss the playoffs, and it's not even a question. It's just a question of what they're going to do in the playoffs. The Mets might be headed in that direction if Stearns can do as good of a job as Friedman, but it's going to take a few years, so they're not there yet. Cubs, it's interesting. I do feel like the Cubs should be in that stratosphere where they don't really rebuild, they reload. Like the Yankees. The Yankees, the year that they traded, it was 2016 when they traded a few guys, including Aroldis Chapman, to the Cubs. They still won in the 80s in games. They didn't have a losing record. It shouldn't bottom out like it did with the Cubs a few years ago when they went 71 and 91. It shouldn't do that anymore once you've established this is how high the bar is. And after the Cubs had what, so right now is the golden era of Cubs baseball, it did bottom out again. Really well set up right now. MLB.com ranked the Cubs as having the second-best farm system in baseball right now after the Orioles, which is ridiculous, by the way, with the Orioles having already graduated all those prospects and is still number one. But that they're there, and it looks like the big league roster is good enough to win the NL Central this year. It looks like they could be set up for sustained success. I do think that there's another component there, and that's the spending. And it looks like after the Cubs won the World Series, Tom Ricketts is content with being a top 10 spender and not like the Dodgers or what we think that the Mets will be under Cohen. So that might be a little bit of a roadblock down the road. But I think that, Bill, you can be excited because I think things are on the way up.
All right, Matt, give me your way too early, oh my God, it's 12 months from now, not really, prediction. Who is coming out of, who's winning each division if you've got it in front of you, and certainly who is coming out of the NL and the AL?
Okay, in the American League, I went Orioles, Twins, Astros. Geez, that's the same as last year. That's not exciting. And in the NL, Braves and Dodgers, it's boring, but those are the chalk. They're chalk picks for a reason. They're going to run away with those divisions, although maybe the Phillies can push the Braves a little bit. In the NL Central, I've got the Cubs. I think that the races to watch are going to be the NL Central because anybody can win it. Any of the five teams, including the Pirates, could win the Central. In the NL West, I think there are going to be two wild cards left because the Phillies are going to get the top wild card in the National League. Then you have the Padres, Diamondbacks, and Giants all look like contenders, three teams fighting for two playoff spots. That's going to be incredibly fun. I have the Phillies winning the World Series. Once again, they have a roster that's better built for the playoffs than the regular season, just like the last 2 years. I think this is the time that they put it all together and break through in the postseason. But Orioles can make a deep run. One of the things to watch about the Orioles is they already traded for Corbin Burns, who has only has 1 year before free agency. So it shows that they're going to be a little more aggressive this year. Mike Elias, their general manager, came from the Astros. Remember, once the Astros built up their prospect currency, they brought a lot of them up that were position players, and they also traded for Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. These Orioles have already traded for Burns. Look for them to make another deal for an ace type around the trade deadline, propel them toward the postseason.
Matt Snyder, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy sort of opening day that's not last week, opening day in a couple days, and thanks for making time, pal.
All right, man. Take care.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.